Moncrief on News Talk.
Aoife O'Connor's new play, In Vitro, is based on her and her wife's real-world experience of IVF, which can be long, sometimes painful, and extremely expensive. And in the play, Aoife explores many ideas. One of them, though, is that socioeconomic class is a factor. The play opens in Bewley's Cafe Theatre on February the 2nd. Aoife, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
So could I ask you a bit about you and your partner's experience? How many goes did you have to go through?
Well, we were very fortunate in that we started the process when I was 27. So really, I was at a great age to be having a baby and didn't have any fertility issues. But when we sat down and looked at how to have a child in Ireland with the current laws, we realised for both of us to be on the birth certificate, in fact, we had to use a fertility clinic, even though neither of us had fertility problems. So that was a big shock. And I was doing a master's in DCU at the time and, lucky enough, was taught playwriting by none other than Marina Carr. And she asked us to write a play at the end of the module. And I had just gone through that whole experience. And that's what drove me to write this play. Even though I only needed one round of IVF, I still didn't need IVF in the first place. Had no fertility issues.
Right. Okay. And what had you considered to be your first option?
Our first option was either potentially using a friend. There were a lot of lovely people in our lives that were willing to help. Mm-hmm. Or else using donor sperm and getting it delivered to the house, which would be called at-home insemination. And both of those would be free. And the first option would allow us to maybe have a relationship and our daughter to know the person that donated, and that could be a sweet thing. Or the other option was completely free and private, whereas the only option that we were allowed to have was to go through a fertility clinic.
Yeah, and is that laid down in legislation? That's the only option.
Yes. Yes.
But under that legislation at the moment, until the new bill is enacted, does that mean whoever carries the child is the parent, but the other person is legally no relation to them at all?
Yeah, if we had tried either of the first two options, that would have been the case. One of us, whoever gave birth to the child, would have all the rights to the child, and the other would be a legal alien to their child. Through the clinic, if you're a very particular version of queer in Ireland, which is two women going through a fertility clinic, only then do you both get rights to your child. That's a very small percentage of people who can afford 10, 15 grand to both have access to their child legally.
Yeah.
So it was a really big conundrum, and it really created unnecessary financial stress and worry when we considered the first two options.
Yeah. And if getting it sent to your home and inseminating it at home, how much would that cost?
I mean, so if you use a friend, totally free. Mm. I mean, in certain places in New York, you can use a friend. You're both considered the parent. The two mums are still considered the parent. So this is unique to Ireland, this particular problem. And if you go through a fertility clinic, if you get donor sperm delivered to your house, which you can do in certain places, in certain countries, right now, sperm has gone up, everybody. right now, probably 1,500. Including post and package for one vial.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That is, that's not to be sniffed at, but
no,
the same is damn sight cheaper than 10, 15 grand.
Much cheaper. Yeah. And private. I mean, everyone else in Ireland's having a baby at home, and lots of queer couples are totally fertile and able to have a baby at home, but the government is forcing us into clinics.
Yeah. And what was your experience of the clinic like?
So I explored in the play. In the play, it's, two women, a teacher who was lucky enough to get her parents' help to buy an apartment, and a musician, a woman who works for herself and didn't grow up with a silver spoon. And they are trying to have a baby, and they go through the same exact questions with the clinic that myself and my wife went through. Mm. I wrote down all the questions that the counsellor asked us, because you actually can't get donor sperm through a clinic without doing a counselling session. So it's this sense of big brother. I didn't like all of the hoops that were required. You know, is it because there's a question of trust? Why do we need counselling?
Well, did they explain why they thought you needed
counselling? It's about the implications of donor sperm. That's why you know, if you're using donor sperm, have you really thought about this? But hang on a second, we didn't want to use potentially donor sperm of someone we didn't know. We would have liked to use a friend, but it's the clinics are making us use donor sperm.
Mm.
So, and now you're making us do counselling about it. It's just a very bizarre experience. And the couple in the play, they get asked a lot of intrusive questions to get their hands on this donor sperm that they didn't even want in the first place.
Yeah. Could I ask what kind of intrusive questions?
Like, have you told your family that you're doing this? We really would recommend, it's not good for the child not to, you know, get that support. Have your family and friends been told that you're going to go through IVF? Where some people aren't even out to their family. They might be, it might not be safe to be out to their family. And the counsellor is asking them all these questions about, when are you going to tell your child they're donor conceived? When are you going to do it?
Mm.
I mean, you're just about coming to the idea of doing IVF, and now they're asking you your next plan. And it feels like they're testing you, you know, do you have the right answers for us to give you this sperm? I'm sure they don't mean it in that way, but that's how it feels.
That's the way it feels, yeah. And under when the assisted human reproduction bill comes into force, is all that gone, that method for same-sex couples, is that gone? Or
unfortunately, that bill has specifically does not have at-home insemination as an option. So it's still shutting out a huge percentage of queer people that don't have 15 grand waiting around to go through a clinic. So it's the government saying only a particular type of queer person can have a baby, and it's the people with money. Because if you're asking them to go through a clinic as a default to have rights to their child, you are asking them to have money.
Mm.
That's what I felt. And that's why I wrote a play where one person doesn't have money and the other person does. What does it do to the relationship when these laws kind of get involved in their relationship?
Yeah, it's kind of farming it out. It's farming it out to the private sector.
It's creating
again
a capitalist fertility problem. You know, it's really interesting. It's a business model. Those IVF clinics are there to make money.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah. Sounds reasonable to ask. A listener says it sounds reasonable to ask you these questions when bringing a child into the world. Now, I suppose, but you know, tonight someone will get drunk and get pregnant. You know, and there'll be a couple who wake up in the morning and go, "Oh my God, what happened?"
Exactly. I mean, in the straight world, which is the majority of Ireland, no one's walking into your bedroom asking you questions. Mm. No one's telling you, okay, just think about it like this: if the government said to every straight couple, you have to go through a fertility clinic. I know you're both fertile. You have to go through a fertility clinic and spend 15 grand in order to both have rights to the child.
Mm.
That's what they're asking us to do.
Yeah.
That would there be outrage.
Yeah. And I suppose for couples, opposite sex couples who have to go to it, and, you know, because there's fertility problems, it's kind of almost a slap in the face to them as well, because they're forcing people who don't need it to use it.
And there's huge waiting lists. I mean, there's a lot of straight couples that have been struggling for years that are finally on the list to get their IVF, and a lesbian couple that didn't even want IVF are ahead of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's creating such a monopoly. And then the most painful part, when the government announced who gets free IVF, the group that they told, you have to use a clinic to have a baby where both of you are on the birth cert, you guys are not included on the free public IVF scheme.
Yeah.
So same-sex couples are not included, but they came and gave another round of people access to free IVF, and they gave secondary infertility. So couples that already have a child that are experiencing infertility, they have been designated free IVF from the government, and still the group that they forced into the clinics, they're not giving them the access to free IVF, even though we have to use really expensive donor sperm.
Mm. When was your child born?
2024.
Yeah. And how are they doing?
Great. Yeah. They're doing great. Like, we are the lucky ones. Mm. We had health insurance. We were able to do this. But I really was interested in exploring in the play, what if you don't have 15 grand to spare? What if you're choosing between paying your rent, paying a medical bill, or having a child? It's really starting to create those choices and giving certain people in the world a chance to have a child, and then saying to others, you're not allowed.
Yeah. Aoife, thanks very much for
coming to talk
to us today. That was Aoife O'Connor there. Aoife's play In Vitro opens at Bewley's Cafe Theatre on February 2nd here in Dublin.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.